Hello, and welcome to the Fuel Run Recover podcast, helping everyday runners fuel better, run smarter, and recover faster so you can reach your full performance potential. I'm your host, Stephanie Natchek, dietitian, fitness coach, and a fellow runner too. As the owner of Stephanie Natchek Performance Nutrition, I've spent the last 10 years helping runners learn to fuel their bodies, level up their running performance, and establish healthier relationships with food and exercise. If you're ready to reconnect with your love of running, then let's get started on today's episode. So hello and welcome everybody to today's episode of the Fuel Run Recover podcast, where I am very excited to be sitting down with Elliot Cook, who is joining us as a physiotherapist.
The clinicians there. Moving forward, I wanted something a little bit more. So I started my own clinic about 3 years ago now called Up and Running Physiotherapy. And we've been growing ever since. It's been a fun ride. We're up to three physios now. We've got massage therapy. We've got athletic therapy. We've got several admin staff. So it's been a fun ride for the last couple of years. Just working on that. That's been my main project for the last couple of years.
Wonderful. And so what made you want to specialize in working with runners to the point where you've even opened up your own clinic that, you know, obviously is geared towards that community and, you know, obviously a fantastic choice of name?
Yeah, thanks. I didn't realize this when I named it, but a lot of people have commented on the name, and I am quite happy with the choice. The name really just represents moving again. That's where pretty much all evidence is heading in physiotherapy. It's actually kind of an exciting time in physio because things have changed a lot, even in the last 10 or 15 years. So really just trying to implore people to get moving is our main thing. But yeah, it's working with runners is a special interest to me. The main reason would be because I myself am a runner. I grew up running since elementary school. I was actually just thinking about this the other day. The first year I ran was in grade five. I was asked by my gym teacher in grade four to be on the track team, but I lied and said I had piano lessons, so I didn't do it that year. And then ever since, I've been running. So since about grade five, and then I started taking it more seriously in middle school, joined a track club, high school, and then ran with the Bisons here at U of M for 5 years. And I've been just running ever since. So I obviously have a vested interest in running. I'm quite familiar with it. But I think one of the most fun things is that, it's just so accessible to everybody. It's something you can just strap on the shoes and head out the door if you really want to. So that's the accessibility is a big key for me. And also the excitement that you feel on a race day, like doing the Manitoba Marathon or this coming weekend actually is the fire paramedic half events. Seeing people on the line at 7 a.m. is an exciting feeling. And there's nothing like the butterflies in your stomach. It's just something I've been involved in for a long time and therefore have a pretty strong affinity to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, you know, running and you know, a lot of these endurance sports, there's this level of competition that I think people who do other activities don't really get. Like, you know, to be able to have the thousands and thousands of people who sign up for a 5K, a 10K, a half, a full, you know, whatever it happens to be. It's just, there's such a huge running community in a way that there isn't with other sports. And I don't know, mm-hmm. Some of it maybe has to do with the accessibility or just the frequency of having events and, you know, things like that. But it is very cool that you don't have to be this really high level professional athlete to still be able to get that excitement of training for an event and showing up to race day and getting that medal. There is something very special, you know, about being a runner.
I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I think in other team sports, you're relying on other people to some degree to help with your performance. And this, it's just so directly related to what you, I mean, it's 100% directly related to what you do and the effort that you put in, but there is some sort of inherent community in that shared effort and experience. And yeah, like I said, the accessibility is big. It just it makes it just so easy for everybody to get into. And for whatever reason, runners seem to be a very happy-go-lucky community, and it's nice to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So, despite all of the benefits and the positives and the wonderful things around running,
Here we go.
there's definitely still some myths out there. And I love that you said that, you know, it's an exciting time to be working in this field and that there are, you know, maybe some changes and some updates to things that we've seen. You know, old habits and old myths definitely die hard. And I want to talk about one really, really big one. You know, that running is bad for your knees. You still hear it out there on the internet. You know, it's floating around Facebook. People will say it to you, oh, you know, all that marathoning that so and so did. Next thing you know, their knees gave out. And it's just one of those myths that doesn't seem to want to die. So can you talk a little bit about that? You know, if you have any idea of like where it came from, why we say that, and you know, tell us what's the real story here with running being bad for
Do
our
you want
knees.
the short answer or the long answer?
I want the long answer. We got lots of time.
The short answer is no, it's not bad for your knees. Let's just get that out there right away. But the long answer is, like many things, it is multifactorial, and there's a lot more that goes into it than a yes or no answer. Generally speaking, if you do anything in a high volume at a high intensity for the first time, or you ramp up into anything really aggressively, chances are you're going to probably run into issues. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle. But generally speaking, running is not bad for your knees. And there are some, in the last maybe 5 years or so, a couple of studies that I would reference to. There are studies that basically talk about how running is a great way to work on strength for your knees. It basically just gets your whole body moving. It's good systemically for the entire body. And actually, people that run recreationally, I'm not talking about elite runners that get paid to run. That's a whole other group of people. But for basically everybody that you can name that's ever run, it's probably helpful for their joints, or anybody that you know in person that is a runner, it's probably helpful for their joints. It's just a matter of load management, and sometimes you have a couple things that you have to take care of to be able to make that achievable for you. So I wouldn't necessarily paint running as the demon here. It's a really good way at finding out what you have to work on, because it'll highlight a few things for you pretty quickly. But absolutely not, it is not bad for your joints. And in fact, people who run have reduced rates of pain or intensity of pain in their knees than populations that don't run. So yeah, it can be quite a helpful tool for your joints. Get your body moving.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then, of course, there's always going to be runners who are going to then come out and say, well, you know, I've been running or I took up running and I did have joint pain. And I think, you know, most of us have had an injury process at some point that we've experienced some discomfort, whether that's in our knees. I mean, certainly I've had some, you know, little issues here and there with things like that, ankles, hips, back, whatever it might be. So what are some of the factors that might contribute to a runner ending up with joint pain or joint discomfort, knowing that it's not just running as a whole that's bad for us or that's causing it in that direct way?
Yeah, so first and foremost, something that I alluded to a little bit already is load management, and basically ramping up really quickly. I'm sure a lot of people have heard this one before, but basically going from 0 to 100 is a pretty quick way to hurt yourself. And that's doing anything. That's not just running. That's going to the gym. You start with 100 pounds instead of 20 pounds. You're probably going to hurt yourself. So generally speaking, I'd say load management is, and incorrectly managing that load is probably the most common thing that we see. On top of that, there are a lot of other factors that go into it. It's having a structured plan or not, like having incorporated rest days, because you do need a little bit of rest here and there. I mean, you shouldn't be only resting, but a little bit of load management that way, tracking your distance, that sort of stuff, ramping up appropriately that way, trying to mix things up, doing a little bit of faster stuff, a little bit of slower stuff, somewhere in between is a good way to mix things up and change the load that you put through your body. Also doing, well, actually lack of exercise outside of running is another thing that might end up putting somebody in a position where they're experiencing joint pain. Muscle strength, mobility, there are a lot of factors that go into it. As I'm sure you're aware, diet probably has a decent role to play in that as well. Less my forte, more yours, but yeah, there are a lot of factors that go into it.
Yeah. So basically the take home message is that if someone is running and they start to notice that their hip is bothering them or their knee is bothering them or their ankle is bothering them, this is not a sign that you need to stop running or that running isn't for you or that it's bad in any way. But there's actually a whole bunch of other things that we should be taking a closer look at and assessing to figure out what the real cause of that problem is. Is that the right way of saying it?
I think you said it much more eloquently than I did, yes.
And of course, the best way to do that is to get connected with a physiotherapist, yeah. You know, who can do these analyses and these assessments to really look at things.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you recommend, you know, just kind of zooming out and talking in more general terms, what are some of the things that you recommend all runners do from that kind of preventative aspect to keep their joints healthy overall as much as possible, I guess?
Yeah. So I think signing up for a run is a great place to start. Like if you've never done a run before, maybe signing up for a 5K or something like that, and then working backwards from that point. Determine
what you're saying is that our first race shouldn't be a 100-mile ultra run.
No, maybe not.
maybe not. Let's start at the 5K. Okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. But yeah, working backwards from a goal, whether it's a race or just maybe it's a personal goal, whatever it is a great place to start, and gradually building up from there, and really listening to your body. Is age-old advice, but it's pretty good advice. Understanding or drawing yourself a roadmap of how you're going to increase, say it's that classic 10% per week or whatever increase it is, adding that amount of volume or intensity to your workouts is a pretty good way to minimize your risk. I'm not going to say everything or anything that we're doing is going to 100% get rid of the likelihood of injury, because injuries are inevitable. In every circumstance, I think, but yeah, basically having a structured plan with the appropriate ramp up is a good place to start. On top of that, being just aware or trying to get familiar with how your body feels so that you can pick up on things a lot faster before they become issues. That's another strategy that I find is helpful. And beyond that, just making sure that you have reasonable mobility in your hips, your ankles, your knees, and reasonable strength in those lower body muscles is another great thing to pay attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. So having that goal and then being able to break that down into, you know, a roadmap that gets you there without going overboard on your volume or your intensity, you know, to the point where, you know, now you're putting that excess strain on your joints. And, you know, in terms of mm-hmm. strength training, I think that, you know, we all talk about it till we're blue in the face, and runners can be a bit of a mixed bag in terms of whether or not they incorporate the strength training. But like you said, definitely having strength in those lower body muscles can make a huge difference.
Yeah. And just to add to that, I think really trying to address things early on before they culminate into something bigger, because the last thing you want to do is have to completely back off. I mean, that's kind of a last resort that we would tend to use, is backing way off. So the earlier you address things, the easier they are to overcome and the less of a problem they face for your long-term goals.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important. Good advice too is don't ignore small problems and let them become big problems that then require you to take considerable time off. You know, deal with things as soon as possible and get a handle on those little issues right away. Something else I see a lot, you know, again, just spending time on social media, kind of listening to runners out there talking and asking questions and everything. A lot of people, whenever they start to have any kind of issue, whatever that might be, any kind of pain, discomfort, immediately we always go to our shoes. And you know, immediately it's, I bought this new pair of shoes, now I'm all of a sudden having this issue. Or, you know, are my shoes too old and worn out and that's causing the problem? Am I wearing the wrong shoes? Can it really be that simple as just, oh, we just need to switch out your footwear, and if you're wearing a different pair of shoes, it'll be all good? Or is that maybe just kind of a little bit of a scapegoat or something that we sort of just want to have as a really easy thing to blame for our issues, but it's probably something else realistically?
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants a quick fix. Sometimes shoes make a substantial difference, but really, that's so low on the totem pole for running issues that that's definitely not the first place that I look. And also, it's just a really expensive thing to change. I think there are so many things that you can change before your runners that will make a much larger, more impactful, lasting distance difference for you. So I will say that there are general effects from different runners, depending on, say, the stack height, like the thickness of the shoes, versus something more minimalist that has effectively no padding, something that's got a higher heel versus a flatter heel compared to the front. Those all will have some effect, but again, they're so much less important than how you run, your load management, which is probably the number one thing, and you're just overall strength of the lower body, coordination, those sorts of things play such a bigger role than the shoes. But I am interested to see how this new wave of what are called maximalist shoes, basically the big cushy shoes with carbon plates and everything. I am interested to see if that ends up having a long-term effect, but it's way too early to tell right now. So yeah, generally speaking, pretty low priority for footwear. There are probably a lot of other things that you can change. I will say the most evidence-based that you can get with footwear right now is that the lighter something is, or shoes are generally more beneficial if they're lighter, if they don't have a ton of motion control stuff. So like they don't have a huge anti-pronation thing. They don't have all this anti-roll technology, that sort of stuff. And just simply, if you feel like they're comfortable. So, if they're light, if they're pretty simple shoes, and if you find them comfortable, that's about as evidence-based as you can get for a footwear recommendation.
Fair enough, fair enough. And so, you know, maybe this is an oversimplification, and please, of course, correct me if this is wrong, but if you're not managing the other aspects of your running volume, mechanics, strength, it almost doesn't matter maybe what shoe you're wearing, you're probably on the fast track to an injury. Whereas on the other hand, if you're a strong, you know, balanced runner with, you know, a lot of like load tolerance, then you can probably be okay in a number of different shoes and not have as high of an injury risk. Is that correct or?
Yeah, I would just put one caveat on that I am pretty bad at predicting who's going to get an injury. I am much more adept at helping somebody get out of an injury. So, I mean, yeah, you're probably right, but the prediction piece, I can't speak to, but getting out of it, the shoes probably don't matter as much. I think all that other stuff that you mentioned is a lot more important.
Yeah, absolutely. I just see so many conversations about, you know, what shoe should I wear? Here's the problem that I'm having. What would you recommend for shoes? And you know, what you said is definitely what I've been seeing out there as well, in that, you know, if the shoes feel good and are comfortable, that's probably the best information we have to go on at this point.
Yeah, and just anecdotally, if you feel like they look really cool, you're probably going to run a little faster too.
Don't say that to me. Don't say that because I have such a horrible history of buying shoes based on how they look versus any other factors. And that has not been
Look
my
fast, run
friend.
fast.
That has not been my friend in the past. I've had to really start being smarter about not choosing shoes just because I think they have fun colors on them. So, all right. So what are, you know, we've talked a little bit already about some of these things, but, you know, just to kind of give everybody who's listening a concise list. I always like to be able to, you know, have an easy way if people want to make notes as they're listening to these episodes and kind of write some things down. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see runners making that are ultimately putting their joints at risk, maybe in the short term, but also maybe in the long term as well? What are some of the things that you see people doing that you wish they would stop?
One of the things that I find I hear a lot is that people just aren't running. They're avoiding running because of X, Y, Z, whatever it is, they're not running. And as I alluded to earlier, there are several studies that show that recreational running, which is, again, pretty much any running that a normal person in day-to-day context is going to encounter, is actually beneficial for their knees. So I would say not running is probably a big mistake. I mean, obviously, if it's not of interest to you, then don't run. Try something else. Probably not. So that's okay. Know your audience, Elliot. But otherwise, just going back to some of the other conversations we've had so far, in the short term, load management is going to be first and foremost. So basically hot out of the gates, starting by run, if you've never run before, starting by going out for a 30, 45 minute jog probably isn't going to be your friend. You're probably going to run into some more acute pain, basically short term, sharper feeling pain, maybe get some swelling, that sort of stuff, which people often interpret as joint damage. And really what it probably is just more general irritation of the tissues, probably no lasting damage. Get out there and go for a run and don't be silly about it. Start with a shorter, lighter, easier run and then build up from there.
Mm-hmm. So would you say, you know, somebody going out for say like a 30 or 45 minute total workout time, but maybe doing some walk run intervals in that 30 or 45 minutes, that would be more reasonable? Or would you say, no, go out for like 20 minutes, cap it at that? Or does that depend a little bit on the person?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be all over the place for everybody. I don't think there's, with all this stuff, there's no hard and fast rule, which is why there are so many opinions out there. There's no one size fits all model for anybody with really any exercise program. So you kind of have to judge a little bit on your own educated guess how you're going to respond. But my suggestion is stopping before it becomes painful. At least early on, give yourself a day or two to see how things shake out, and then try it again. Don't ramp up immediately. Give yourself a couple data points to see how you're feeling and then increase from there. And something like a walk run is not a bad approach for somebody who's new to the activity. It gives you a chance for your cardiovascular system to recover so you don't get too frustrated there. It gives you a minute or two to just do a self-assessment of how you feel. And it just makes you a little more cognizant of what you're feeling and a little bit more aware, which I think early on isn't such a bad thing. I think that's a great approach.
Yeah. And I really, you know, two things that I heard you say and two kind of big takeaways, I think, from that comment would be that, you know, you have to figure out what's right for you. And so just like printing a plan off the internet that is like, okay, here's how you're going to get ready to run this race, and feeling like you need to blindly follow it or sort of, you know, go by this plan kind of come hell or high water, can be really detrimental if that's maybe not an appropriate plan for you. The internet is full of sample training plans and all kinds of different things that you can find. And some of them are labeled as being various levels. And whose interpretation of beginner, intermediate, or advanced are we really talking about here? And then also to have, you know, some guidance and some data points where I think that, you know, working with a professional on this stuff when you're just learning about it is so beneficial, so that you're not trying to figure out, you know, how much should I be increasing my distance? Is this the right intensity? You know, what should I do for my long run if I'm getting ready for a bigger distance event? Like, to just have somebody that you can ask these questions to is really, really helpful, so that you don't end up having ultimately maybe a bad experience with running because you went out and you did too much too soon.
Yeah. And it's that sort of preparation is something that I certainly enjoy doing with people. It is nice to map that out. And I mean, this is such a fluid process. Everybody's different and everybody responds differently to these sorts of things. So it's really, there's a science side of it. There's an art side of it to trying to balance the load that somebody's putting through, giving them some reference points. And actually, just while we were speaking, I was just thinking about that your hell or high water comment. I was intrigued by a study that came out, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, that having a training plan and specifically adhering to every part of it is actually more likely to cause injury than being a little bit flexible with your training plan. So it is good to have a plan. But it's good to also have a little bit of flexibility in there. So yes. That is another recommendation.
Yeah, that's actually really, really interesting that someone studied that. That's very cool. Mm-hmm. So why might a runner want to or benefit from working with someone like yourself who sort of specializes in running and obviously has a personal vested interest in working with runners versus a physiotherapist who maybe is a bit more of a generalist? And, you know, obviously, if those are not the right terms that you would use in your field, pardon me, you know, like in nutrition, for example, we've got obviously, like, you know, the sport dietitians and then the people who wouldn't mm-hmm. identify as a sport dietitian and all of that. So I don't know how you kind of use this terminology in your field, but why would a runner or maybe should a runner seek out working with someone, you know, like yourself who has that additional interest in running or maybe additional training when it comes to working with runners?
Yeah. So I just want to be very clear. Our college gets a little sticky when we say we're specialists and stuff.
Oh,
so
okay.
If the college is listening, I'm not saying I'm a specialist, but I will say I do have a lot of experience.
That was me, not Elliot. Yeah. Everyone just worked here.
I do certainly have a lot of a pretty extensive background and just frankly, a lot of experience working with runners. I mean, obviously the name of our clinic attracts people. And we also, we generally get out and involve ourselves in a couple different ways. We go to several events a year, not necessarily only runs. We did a triathlon earlier this year, which was a great time. But we got out, got our feet wet at a triathlon and get out to different trail races with Trails of Toba this year, which was a blast. They didn't let me run the race, but they let me work it, which is fine.
Close enough.
But yeah, I think just having that inherent understanding of what somebody is going through can be a pretty powerful tool, and it just provides a lot more context when you're working with somebody for what they're going through or what works, what doesn't, how people respond to different types of activities. If you're trying to recommend something, it's just usually better if you've had that experience and you can understand how it will impact you and how you'll feel the next couple of days, that sort of thing. So I'd say just generally having that innate understanding of what people are going through is probably one of the most powerful things.
Yeah. And so in your education, like when you're in your schooling, does every physiotherapist get sort of the same amount of sort of education and training in working with athletes? Or is that something that you go on to learn more about through continuing education or like additional courses that you take after you become a physiotherapist?
Yeah, so school is really just a broad exposure to a lot of things, and you'll get a little bit of athletic population, especially if you elect to do those sorts of things. But a lot of education that I've done is after school, doing some specific courses with that, and just working with a lot of runners, doing a lot of research that I read up on has to do with running. So that's certainly where one of my main focuses is. But it would be primarily post education or post school education that you'd be looking at for specific running stuff. which is fine. The master's program here is great, and I had a fantastic education, but it's hard to specialize in anything in school. So I've tried to take that extra step and go that much further, just following my interest.
Yeah, for sure. And it's the exact same for us in nutrition, where, you know, you can take a sport nutrition course, but there's only really one in university. And then you can, you know, do part of your internship working with and job shadowing, basically, dietitians who already work with athletes and stuff like that. But it really comes from you having that personal interest and drive to seek out more information and to get more education on that topic or on that subject kind of afterwards. It's definitely not a requirement. So very similar to our field as well. So where can people find Up and Running Physio and connect with you, follow you? And you said before we started recording here that you do offer virtual consultations for people who don't happen to live here in the Winnipeg area. But, you know, certainly a lot of our listeners are local, and a lot of the clients that I work with happen to be local, even if we do meet virtually. So tell us more about where people can find you and connect with you.
Yeah, so we try and get out in the community and be at races. Whether it's myself or some of our other therapists, we also have a group of more elite athletes that we sponsor. So you can see some of those men and women out in the field. But really, we're a physiotherapy, massage, athletic therapy clinic located at Stafford and Pembina. So pretty central South River Heights area. I was looking for an area that was essentially accessible to the whole city, and I think outside of construction, we've pretty much got that covered.
But, it's bad right
yeah, it's
there.
Been an interesting it's, so it's been an right interesting there. Summer on that front.
No kidding.
But just at Stafford and Pembina, but it's incredibly easy to book online. We've got some great software for that. So our website is upwpg.com. So upwinnipeg.com. You can go on there, read all about us, book an appointment, give us a call. So a few different ways to get in touch with us, Instagram, all that fun stuff.
Great. And what's your Instagram handle?
It's Up and Running Physio.
Okay, wonderful. So thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. I really appreciate it. And I, like I said, I was really looking forward to this conversation, of course, because I know that, you know, the listeners here to the Fuel Run Recover podcast will get a lot out of this. But I had, you know, some of these were my personal questions that I wanted to ask Elliot as well. So yeah, so thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And thank you for everyone, to everyone for listening to today's episode. Is there anything else, any final thoughts or things that you wanted to share, just to kind of last piece of advice for anybody who's listening today?
Yeah, I think just generally, a lot of people are, when they start on this path of trying to get into running, or maybe they're trying to get back from an injury, there's always going to be a little bit of time where things are a little bit tenuous, and that's going to happen with any exercise program, but just keep at it. Things usually get better after a couple of weeks. If you're running into issues, seek out some advice, but it is actually, it's just such a liberating activity to do. There's so much potential there, whether it's just going out and clearing your mind, whether it's joining a running club, doing a race, doing a trail run. There's so much there that you can do, and it's such a lifelong sport that I find translates into so many other things. Like I'm pretty active in other sports too, and it's just something that lays down such a good foundation for everything else that I think it's really, really worth trying and giving a good effort into it. And things usually get better as you keep working at it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Great advice, words of wisdom from Elliot Cook, owner of Up and Running Physio here in Winnipeg. So definitely check them out. And if you're on the lookout for a running specific physiotherapist who can, you know, cure all your ailments and woes, then you can visit their website and, like you said, book an online appointment. All right, that is it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you in our next one. Bye for now. The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used or relied upon for the diagnosis or treatment of any health condition. This information does not create a client-practitioner relationship and should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice.